Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I'm joined, as always, with the mutable Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Mr. Hooper?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great.
All right.
You're not mutable, though.
I am not mutable, no. I'm very much not mutable.
I don't really think I am either. I think you're just saying that about me.
Let me just throw this out. We have Jay here who's pretending like he's not here.
Hi, guys.
But he is here. So let's just throw it out to him. If I told you that mutable means subject to change at a moment's notice, would that or would that not describe Zoe?
That would definitely describe Zoe.
Thank you very much. All right, Zoe, why don't you tell us what's coming up on today's episode?
I get no say on that. Okay, tattoos. Obviously, Jay. A real life alternate sex therapist.
A real one. Right here on this show.
The real deal.
Yes.
Tips for fetish models and maybe some other stuff.
There will be other stuff. There will be fun and excitement and Zoe knocking things around on the table.
That was you.
Of course it was me. all right. So you are going to get a brand new tattoo.
I am.
Tell us about that.
No, I'm going to have to let you guess or find out on your own. No, I'm going to get some ink. I'm going to get a tramp stamp.
Are you really getting a tramp stamp?
I think so.
Right at the small of your back.
Well, I don't know where else to put it. Where would you put it, Dirk?
I don't know.
Probably on a booby or something.
No, good God.
Where should I put it?
I don't know.
What do you think, Jay?
I guess that's just as good as any.
The bridge of your nose.
Man, y'all suck at that, too. maybe
or,
it's
or to, maybe not.
Maybe it's to be decided.
TBD. And to this, be determined.
This is actually going to be videoed at the studio. I mean, the tattoo studio. You're actually going to video, real life, me getting a motherfucking tattoo.
We are recording it for all time.
Yes, and I'm sure it's not going to hurt at all.
Oh, no.
No. I have one. I have
no,
another
it'll be
one.
Like a, it'll be like sitting in a hot tub.
What do you think about that, Jay?
Being fed grapes.
Mm-mm, Jay.
Lots of grapes.
I mean, y'all lie.
But we've got a whole crew going down there.
Yeah, I'm a pussy.
That's going to happen in the next few days. What'd you say?
I'm a pussy about that kind of stuff.
Are you? You said pussy, so my ears perked up. well, since we're talking about tattoo stuff, Jay has actually done an interview with the guy who owns the joint, right?
I did. Jason King. He's great.
He's cool as shit, isn't he?
He really is.
For those of you who don't know, Jay has already, he's one of our staff writers. He's already written some stuff. You can see some of his work on our website right now. And he did an interview, which is going to be on the site soon.
It's great. Jason founded the piercing shop before tattoos were legal in Oklahoma in 1990. I'm sorry, 1995. He started piercing in 1990 and founded the piercing shop in 1995, then founded Atomic Lotus Tattoo Shop in 2006.
Which one was legal first, the tattooing or the piercing?
Piercing.
Oklahoma was a little slow on that stuff, I think.
So what? Yeah, we were the last state, literally the last state
He's
in the union.
He's been around a while then.
That did tattoos.
Yeah, he actually was one of the first piercing shops in Oklahoma in 1995, and then immediately when the law was passed to make tattooing legal in Oklahoma, he immediately opened up the tattoo shop.
Well, I know that Elaine Angel, the piercing artist who's pretty famous, she won't pierce just anywhere. They have to have a certain standard. She came here and pitched at his place, she says that that's a great place to go. So it must be. That's where you need to get pierced.
She literally wrote the Bible.
She did.
She did.
On piercing.
And she was going to pierce my hoo-ha. Remember that when she
I
was
do
here?
Remember
she
that,
needs
yes.
to come back and do that.
And she was going to do it there at that shop. That,
yes, right.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So
what else did he tell you?
Yeah.
Well, we had about a 15-minute conversation. You know, he talked about the origin of piercing in the United States. Before he opened his shop in 95, he started in 1990 because his girlfriend wanted her nipples pierced.
Wow.
And in those days, it was a lot of trial and error. They really didn't know what was going on. It was interesting the way you told me about it because Google didn't exist then.
Right.
So there was no way to find out any information about
that
it.
That may be a shock to some people who are listening to the show.
And, of course, Elaine hadn't written her book yet.
Oh,
right.
So it was just a lot of trial and error. And then, you know, they found out what worked and what didn't and then finally opened the shop in 95. Then when they opened the tattoo shop in 2006, it has become known in Oklahoma City as one of, if not probably the premier tattoo shop in all of Oklahoma City.
I was wondering about that at one point when I lived in Oklahoma City before I was stationed here. And I thought, you know what? They just now passed a law to get tattoos. I bet you nobody knows how to tattoo here yet. I don't want to get a tattoo, but he's been around the longest. So that's the place to go, the guy that's been there the longest. They got some cool guys over
What's
there.
What's the name of their shop,
Jay? Atomic Lotus Tattoo. And the piercing shop is 23rd Street Body Piercing.
They're all right. Right next to each other.
And you're going to be writing an article on your interview there?
I am.
All right. Very cool. So check out the website, thefetishshow.com. We'll be running that interview, and it'll be written by Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about Cherry Lime Yaws.
Cherry Lime Yaw. Yes, let's do. That. You actually came up with that name, but I actually order that now all the time at the drive-thru. You tell it.
We have a bit of a Cherry Lime Yaw addiction.
I don't have any addictions, but
of course you don't.
We like to drink these Brahms cherry limeades, so Dirk starts calling them cherry lime yaws. So now
it just makes it fancier.
Yeah, and I always order it like that, and they never say anything to me.
They always get it.
They
for some
get
reason
it.
They're all in on it.
They think I'm all fancy and stuff.
Exactly. They think you're from France.
I bet you they change on the menu to cherry lime.
Cherry lime yaw.
Dirk likes it whenever the guys squeeze his limes. He doesn't like the girls to squeeze his limes. He says it doesn't come out the same.
Let me tell you something. Girls do not have the skeletal, muscular makeup to properly squeeze a lime.
I don't fucking
I'm
know.
Sorry to say that. I'm not really being sexist. I'm just saying it's a physiological issue.
Well,
I prefer
the issue
when women
is,
squeeze my limes.
The issue is that girls with their little dainty hands can't get on these things and really get in there and squeeze those limes.
Well, what's important about this is that Brahms really actually squeezes their shit into their cherry lime, unlike Sonic or wherever.
You need people that look like Lou Ferrigno squeezing your limes
so
that you can get the proper amount of juice out of the lime, because these little girls get a hold of these limes and they lightly dust the lime with pressure.
I think you should go and teach them how it's done. Maybe you should say, I want a cherry lime yaw squeezed by a man.
Yes.
And
find a man on your staff to squeeze these limes.
But they're always,
stat.
They're always slower, though, than the chicks are. I don't know. Man,
Listen, if you're going to make a cherry lime yaw correctly, it's worth the extra time.
Oh, my God. He's like that with everything. His food is always
Dirk,
like,
I have
so
a question.
Perfect.
Yes.
Are you saying your limes are too big for a girl to squeeze properly?
That's what I'm saying, Jay. Let it be known.
Okay.
Let it be written. I recently got some a photo. Let's try this over again. I recently got a photo published on Pinup Post. For those of you who are, if you are or are not familiar, there's a thing called Pinup Post.
That sounds cool.
And it's basically kind of like 1950s, you know, kind of classic Pinup Post type stuff. Well, I took some photos.
Like Pinup stuff?
Yeah. So I did some photos with Apple Angel and submitted it to them. And it got on there, Pinup Post. So anyway, if you're interested in that, we've got a link to it, and you can see that on thefetishshow.com.
And that's kind of her.
This is episode 31.
That's kind of her style, too. She's kind of the pinup-ish model, right?
Yeah.
That's her deal.
That is her deal.
She's good at that.
Yeah, and they're really picky. You have to be, you know, in that genre. You can't just send, like, glamour photos or even photos or something. It has to be specifically in that deal. They come out with, like, four or five different photos per day. That thing is so active and stuff. If you get a kick out of it, it's pinuppost.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I have an announcement.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, I did say I was going to go to Greece, but now I'm not going to go at this time. So I just want y'all to know that. Go wait.
Not going to Greece?
Well, not right now.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that Greece is on fire?
Why? They voted themselves out of the European Union, from what I understand. They're fixing to have an election. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Chaos. I may go there and, like, be in charge.
Fire.
If necessary.
Brimstone. You should be in charge there.
I think it'd be a good idea.
That is a great idea.
I think so,
Why
too.
Not?
I want to run for election, but they probably might let me.
Do you have to be a citizen? Or I guess there are no citizens now since they don't have a country.
I do not fucking know. I don't know. What if I get there and I can't get out because they closed the airport? I got to wait a minute, so I'm going to wait.
Greeks.
I like Greeks, but...
That's Greek to me.
All right, so just wanted you to know. Delayed.
Delayed. Do we have anything else we want to mention?
Probably, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, we'll cover it later. Up next is the Fetish Show News.
I am Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
All right, up first tonight on the Fetish Show News, a Florida library removes 50 Shades of Grey from their shelves.
No way.
Yeah, this is from the New York Times. The Brevard County Public Library System in East Central Florida has pulled copies of 50 Shades of Grey from its shelves after officials decided they were not suitable for public circulation. Quote, "We view this as pornographic material," Don Walker, a spokesman for the Brevard County government, said in an interview on Friday. Quote, "I have not read 50 Shades of Grey, but I've read reviews of 50 Shades of Grey. From what I understand, it's a lot about male dominance and female submissiveness. Other books of an erotic nature, including The Complete Kama Sutra, Tropic of Cancer, Lolita, and Lady Chatterley's Lover, were available at the branches of Brevard County Library, but Mr. Walker said that was because they had already, quote, become part of the societal mainstream," unquote.
Oh, man, wow.
How about that one?
Now, ooh, lots to say.
Now, okay, let me also say that there's been an update on that since this story. Apparently, they've decided to put the things back because everyone bitched about it pretty hard. And... Library Services Director Kathy Schweinsberg said the library was against censorship and was reviewing its selection criteria.
Well, the law specifies what porn is and what it's not, so they have to go by that. And another thing, there are libraries that you can go into and ask for particular books that they keep put away that are made out of human skin. I mean, they used to bound books in human skin. That's in there. You know what we need to do is make a BDSM book that is like a medical book, because you open medical books for kids or even for people and you can see a dick and a pussy in there, although it's not called that. It's a penis and a vagina or
right.
whatever, but we need a BDSM book kind of like that.
You mean something that's just straightforward? Kind of medical, scientific terminology.
You know, psychology kind of thing. It just lays it out and doesn't put in any kind of story to it or whatever, I guess.
I think this may be a case where just someone kind of overstepped their bounds and didn't consider the ramifications.
I agree with that, however.
Although, you know, history is littered with bureaucrats that overstep their authority. And if you don't shout them down, then they do whatever they want to.
Well, if it's a public library, the public can say. If it's private, I guess, I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, the public, yeah, the public cried out and they got their book back.
That's cool. I'm glad they did.
I am too. Good for you guys in Florida for bitching about that, making them crumble.
Yeah.
I like that.
People shouldn't decide what books should go in the library or not. They should decide it goes in this section over here instead, so if they have a problem with it.
I have no problem with restricting it to certain ages and stuff. I mean, I don't think that an 8-year-old ought to pick up 50 Shades of Grey. And by the way, there's some question about whether 50 Shades of Grey is actually written well or not. So,
does it have pictures in it?
We're not. It doesn't. It doesn't. So, I mean, we're probably not talking about a literary masterwork here or anything. But, you know,
well, it needs to be in the Leather Library too.
Let people read it and determine for themselves instead of censoring that crap.
I agree.
All right. Two Toronto-based sex researchers, Dr. Amani Maxwell and Veronica Maxwell, released their finding yesterday to the New England Journal of Medicine and have discovered a treatment model without medication that permanently cures erectile dysfunction in men. The discovery was found ironically while analyzing the sexual behavior of men interested in participating in fetish BDSM-related activities.
Interesting.
How about that? They found that in their study of hundreds of men interested in fetish BDSM, that some of those men suffered from a physiological sexual dysfunction, observing that many of these individuals seemed to be able to overcome their ED temporarily when engaged in kinky fetish play. They began to observe how the male body was acting during these times and began to experiment if the male body could replicate that reaction in a non-fetish setting. They determined that by adjusting the circulation of the male body and by implementing a pattern of breathing, the body reacted in an identical way that it did when the males were in the fetish environment. The dynamic couple then created a treatment model and began to apply it to men who suffered from ED. Their innovative treatment was perfected and tested on over 1,500 men with an astounding 96% success rate.
Well, I think if they tried the BDSM and got their heart on, then it'd be easier for them to think about it in their example where they weren't doing the BDSM, just the breathing.
Right,
shit.
Exactly. I think, exactly.
That might be flawed.
Exactly.
So, there's a lot of validity. I don't know to what degree to this. That's all I can say. There needs to be a lot more study on it. It is true.
Well, I mean, you should know.
Well, I take the credit for it.
Well, right, okay.
Like, you cured me. That's right. It was all me. I don't do that.
You cure erectile dysfunction.
Yes,
congratulations.
I do. Sure. You know what? Or maybe slap it like the booby slapping.
Wow. Right.
That's fun, though.
So, I mean, you could make the determination that BDSM cures ED.
I don't know.
From this, right?
Well, you might can make the determination that it has something to do with the back to your psychology again.
Exactly, yes.
I don't
back
know.
To the brain. It's in your brain.
I think you need to do what you need to do to make your dick work. That's what I think.
I think that's good advice. It's good advice to live by. HarperCollins launches erotic ebook franchise. Book publisher HarperCollins plans to turn up the heat with its new erotic arm, Mischief, which comes at a time of high interest in the genre. This is mostly due to the high sales of E.L. James' 50 Shades of Grey, we're going to mention it, with high quota of BDSM content. The book has also increased sales of fetish sex toys. What did you say?
I said you always talk about that book.
Can't get away from it. It's a phenomenon. quote, Susan Noble, director of Stunning PR, publicist, said for Mischief, said, "The fact that HarperCollins, a big publisher, is joining the fray with this range of erotic books is an indication of the popularity of the genre. Until now, erotic has been dominated by small publishers and self-published authors. With the launch of Mischief, we are looking to raise the quality of what's out there, not to mention the popularity of erotica in general."
About got dang time.
Yeah.
It is. You know, when we talked to Skin 2, Tim
Woodward.
Yes, and he was talking about how there was no literature. Publishers wouldn't publish certain things, and they have pretty strict guidelines on nothing that has to do with hurting someone or rape scenarios or whatever. They will not publish it. Usually it has to be very, consensual or sounding. If you write a story, there needs to be more publishers. I guess that's what's happening.
Well, they're starting. Rest assured, they see dollar signs here because, I mean, obviously, 50 Shades of Grey went nuts. They're making tons and tons of money off of that thing. And follow the money.
It's not all porn, and that's the thing. What people thought before, because BDSM and porn are not the same thing. Not the literature part. I mean, it's just separate.
Right.
That's all I can say on that.
All right. And finally, this is not a news story, but it was a very interesting story from MadisonKink.com. It's basically about kinky dollar store toys. So if you're looking for maybe some toys or something to get on the cheap, or maybe let's say that you traveled someplace and you didn't want to take your whip and your seven insertables, Princess Zoe.
No more than that.
Then maybe you want to drop by the dollar store and pick up some of these items. So I'm just going to run through it real quick, and maybe we'll run some. We'll give you a link on the posting for this episode. You can read the entire article. Some of the things that they mention is kitchen supplies. A spatula can be used as a paddle easily, and a whisk makes an interesting metal flog, right? Mm-hmm. They call these pervertibles. I like that term, pervertibles. I know some pervertibles. In the kids section, they say a paddleball game usually comes with wooden paddles. Just take off the elastic string holding the ball to it and have fun, right? You can also get a few dress-up items for age play or for, anything else, cross-dressing. Stationery.
What?
They say it's a good place to get a few items if you're into role-playing, as a teacher needs a journal for the student and the boss may want to have a new steno pad.
Okay.
Right, for the secretary. Mm-hmm. Use stickers for pasties.
Well,
for example.
Is that all on the list?
There's a few other things. Go ahead.
I just want to make a little bit comment about that. I do like thrift stores, and I do like shopping like that. But for some reason, when it comes to these particular type items and supplies, I always kind of lean against it because not that you shouldn't be creative or that you have to spend a lot, but I suggest go ahead and invest in a little bit more in something because, if you it just wouldn't work for me. And not that it's not a creative idea and you shouldn't on a one-time basis go to over there and get a pad, but my break or who knows, or might not have the right part in it. The whisk thing might not be good. I don't know. I'm going to make sure my shit's working.
I would say most of these things would be, I totally agree with you. You should spend the money because obviously the stuff that you spend the money on is going to be a hell of a lot better quality.
I just don't know about the whole thrift BDSM in general. I'm not sure if it's a good thing to for people to really consider or not. I don't know.
I'll tell you a few things that I've added to my own toy box.
What's that?
That are from, thrift stores or whatever. Clothespins, for example. Those work quite well. Actually, instead of like one of those paddle ball games, like a ping pong paddle.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a ping pong paddle. That thing is serious. It's got rubber exterior on it. You can get clamps and stuff for that sort of thing. Obviously, rope. You can pick up rope at Walmart or whatever that you can use for stuff.
If it's a staple, you need to make sure it's the quality. If it's you and your partner in a one-time thingy, whatever, you don't need to go to a thrift store. just whatever you have, make it work.
If you got your mind in it.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you can pick up something silly. I know that there was one person, I remember at a play party I was at, they picked up a big rubber bat that was in like the toy section or something.
Cool.
And it was like super thuddy. And his submissive loved it. So, you know,
you
if you've got your mind in that
thing,
yes, you can. Absolutely. Listen, the best toy you ever have is your mind.
I like floor play a lot.
There you go.
You see that more.
I second that emotion.
All right.
And that's it for the Fetish Show News. To start a new segment, which is called our Sexpert segment. What do you think about this?
I like the name of it.
We've been talking about doing this segment for a while. We don't have a bumper.
Oh my god!
We have no Sexpert bumper.
We can get one.
We need to get one of those.
And we're like Sexpert.
Let's contact Matt.
Let's do that.
Get that hooked up seriously.
Yes.
All right. Well, today, since Zoe is a fetish model and since I'm a fetish photographer, we're going to talk in general about contacting fetish photographers.
Hey, you should take my picture sometime.
I think I did that last night, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I or did I not? So anyway, you know, I get a lot of contacts from different fetish models. And because I get contacted constantly on this thing, I've learned a lot of kind of do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. As being the person who is on the receiving end, I can tell you that they make a lot of mistakes, or some do. And there's just some very simple things that you can do, I think, to help you, whether you're contacting me or contacting any other photographer, just to kind of look professional and to come
exactly
off with the best first impression. So one of the things I think you need to think about is before you ever start contacting anyone, you know, what do you want to do? You can't really be every type of model. You can't be a fashion model and a nude model and a glamour model and a runway model and a fetish model.
A lot of models don't know the difference between these types of modeling.
Exactly. So, you know, do your research. Figure out what it's going to be, because you can't be, no matter how fantastic you are, you can't be everything to everyone. And you got to figure out what your goals are, pretty much.
To get your picture taken.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all the goal is.
Well, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're talking about everything from hobby modeling, you know, I just want my picture taken, up to, you know, I want this to be my career.
Well, sometimes photographers will contact models, but often models don't realize that you need to contact them. And I have seen a lot of the newer models not understanding that this is the process. This is what you need to go through. It's not that you're anything more special than anybody else, or that one way or another, but you need to present yourself in a way that is not overwhelming or takes up too much time, or, you know, you're not going to become a model because this guy takes pictures of you. If he's taking pictures of you and it's a kind of a trade-off, you need to give him something. You need to give him modeling in exchange for he gives you the photos. Sometimes he has a project. Do you fit the project? Because sometimes I advertise, I'm doing this project, I need models for that. Do you fit that? If you don't, then don't apply. And if you're going to contact them, sometimes it's good to give them a photo of yourself if they ask you for it. Don't just send a whole bunch of your photos. I don't think that's a good idea.
Right.
Unless they're naked. Just kidding. What do you think?
Well, that kind of goes to my next point, which is to be selective about who you contact.
Oh, yeah.
Don't contact every photographer
No.
that's in the book. I mean, like some people go to like Model Mayhem and they start with the A's and they just go through and contact every photographer. Man, I'm telling you right now, you are not right for every photographer.
And that doesn't mean that you're going to be a model because this photographer says yes.
Absolutely not.
Lots of photographers will take pictures of you and they'll be inappropriate with you or whatever. And we can talk about that a little bit too, what to do in that situation.
Right. So figure out first who you are, what your goals are, and then be selective. Say, this photographer is doing the type of work that I want to do. I'm not going to just work with everyone on the planet or even try to work with everyone on the planet. I'm going to be very focused about who I contact.
That's exactly how I met you.
Yeah, exactly.
The first thing I did was sought out the particular photographer that I needed for the particular photos that I needed. And I sought out what I thought to be the best at that. So that was you. I picked you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What did I say?
What did you say?
Hey, how are you? Taking a picture.
Well, you know, I have my site optimized for, you know, dominatrix and fetish photography and stuff. And I'm sure you did a Google search and you found out that I was doing that sort of work. And so, I mean, you're right on target. You know who you are. You know what you want. And you contacted the right
photographer. I was amazed that you were here in the same city because I was willing to go wherever I needed to be. Have my photos taken by whoever I thought was the best for that.
Yeah.
We need to go back and look that up.
That's fortuitous. I bet I have that somewhere. Well, you're talking a little bit about the photos. As far as I'm concerned, I think that do not send 20 or 30 photos.
No.
Send a few photos. It doesn't have to be professional photos. I just want to see what you look like.
They have to be
current. They have to be larger than a postage stamp.
They don't have to be nude.
They do not have to be nude.
At all, no.
You know, if you're applying
Matter
for
of fact,
Playboy.
Don't send nude photos of yourself.
If you're applying for Playboy, they prefer you be in a bikini or something.
Yes, they don't have.
You know, if they want more, then they'll ask for more. But, I mean, you could literally just take a snapshot, a good quality snapshot that shows your current look with your phone. Honestly, just to give the photographer an idea of who he's talking to.
And also, professional photographers won't ask you for nude photos of yourself either. They might ask you if you've taken them or what, if you do implied nudity or whatever, but they won't say, well, send me a picture of your boobs, babe. They will not do that.
Right.
They might take a picture of them, but they won't ask you.
You need to be professional.
Yes, you do.
And that means don't be overly familiar. Keep a professional tone. You know, you don't want to be all business, but also don't act like you've known that person forever. Just be professional. Be polite and be brief, I think, because some models want to tell you their whole life story. And honestly, no one really has time for that.
No, they're not going to pick you
Nothing
on most
personal.
Of the things that you say if you have the look. However, they can say no based on some of the things you say.
Right.
If there's too many, like, well, I can't do this, and I got to have these people there, and it's got to be on a Sunday in June. And
absolutely.
Fuck all that shit.
I think that's really important. You got to realize that if you're getting, you know, model applications 3 or 4 a week, and, you know, sometimes I get even more than that, it absolutely comes down. I mean, if you've got a bunch of stipulations about, you know, what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and all that sort of stuff, you know, it just may not be the right fit. And it's nothing personal.
That's just too much.
Yeah.
If you're a model and you are professional and you're doing a shoot, you shouldn't have a whole lot of concern about if you need to wear a dress that you don't particularly like. That's just the way it is. If you don't like this color eyeshadow and that fits it, so what? Well, this one's ugly. Oh, well, it doesn't matter if that's for the shoot. And I don't like working with people who's like, hey, I don't want to wear this one. I don't want to wear that one. No. Man, get over it.
Yeah, if you want to pick what you're wearing and the makeup and your hairstyle, then go down to Sears and, you know, go to their portrait studio there and get whatever it is that you want to do. But if you want to be a model, then you need to be open-minded.
Yes.
And professional about the fact that you're there to present a look and to fulfill a concept that the photographer and maybe even you have.
And I think a lot of models don't realize that too, that they're there to help fulfill something for the photographer. It's not just about you having your picture taken. They're trying to create and do something, and you have to help provide that to them. And yeah, you can do a shoot where you bring whatever clothes you want and you know, ask them to do that for you. But it's not just about you having your picture taken to look pretty.
Right.
You're creating something that he can use.
Right,
or she
exactly.
can use.
That's so true, too. And, I mean, conversely, I have done shoots specifically that models have come up with. Hey, I've got this outfit or I've got this idea. And it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Let's do that. I mean, I like the collaboration, but you're absolutely right. You have to also be – you have to be a model. You know, a model is – it has to be – open-minded. And
you're a prop.
Well,
you're
in
part
some
of
ways,
the painting.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You never do what I say whenever you take my picture. I say, let's do this. You're like, no, don't do that. I'm like, why? I want to.
That's so untrue.
It is too. No, you do that, yeah. Don't listen to me.
I'd also say that be careful where you send the photographer. If you're contacting them through the internet, if you're going to send them to, like, say, Facebook or something, you should probably have a modeling profile for Facebook instead of, like, the thing with your dog and your kids and your...
Like we always say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really focus in on and be aware of where you're... Because you're, you know, you're representing yourself here.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a Model Mayhem account, you got something that's specifically designed, or maybe your own website, that would be a hell of a lot better than just sending to a thing where you've got a bunch of pictures of cats.
And no one wants to see a whole bunch of pictures of the same shoot, like 20 pictures of the same shoot of you. Although they're beautiful...
That is so true.
Oh my God, pick one or two.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of power in editing those images down.
And also, girls... You have the right to your photos. When someone takes your photo, it's okay for you to ask for your pictures. And you have the right to use them. And you have the right to bring someone with you on a photo shoot if you feel necessary, if that's necessary. I always like to have a spotter with me that says, oh, your tag's hanging out or your lipstick's jacked up or, you know, something like that. If someone's available, that's best for me. So anyway, just want to mention that.
Some photographers will fight you on bringing other people to the deal. I will not. I want you to be comfortable. As long as they're not being disruptive or it's like a boyfriend that doesn't want you to model and you bring that jerk along.
Oh, God, yes. I do a lot of spotting for Dirk, and it's because – I'm there with him to help him get the best from the model. But if your photographer doesn't have a spotter, you know, maybe talk about it, because it's not your boyfriend. It's not your mom. It's somebody just looking for the hair that's hanging out the wrong way or, you know.
Well, also, I mean, some models just like to have their friends come, you know, that because they're more comfortable.
That's not a good idea, though.
Probably in many cases not, but if you're –
Yeah, like
if you're going to be overly nervous and having a friend with you would help and they're going to not be disruptive, I'd rather have the friend there.
As long as other models aren't also around, because I like a close set. And if you come in to the set and you're part of the thing and you have friends and stuff with you, no. It's disruptive to me. It's not fair to me and it's not fair for you. If you're having your...
It's a different deal if you have multiple models there. Then
That's
you
right.
have to be sensitive to everyone's needs.
Right.
If it's just that one model there, then just personally speaking, I think that you should allow the model to bring whoever they need or whatever they need to feel comfortable in that environment. But if you got That's multiple right. models, it's a different matter. You got to be respectful to everyone.
Sure.
So anyway, I think finally with contacting photographers, don't be afraid to follow up. Photographers get very, very busy on this sort of stuff. Even if they don't get right back to you, they may be interested in you. Wouldn't hurt to send another email to them and say, hey, did you get my deal? Or
exactly.
You know, that sort of thing. Just follow up. Be polite.
And then do what you got to do to get your picture taken by them.
There you go.
Be nice.
There you go.
Exactly.
Do you have any other advice there, Princess Zoe?
I can't think of it right now.
All right. Well, we're going to put a link. I wrote an article on this subject. We'll put a link on there. We may just republish this article that I have. But if you've got any advice on contacting photographers, then get in touch with us at info@thefetishshow.com.
You know, contact that photographer, Dark Hooper, and tell him you have advice on contacting.
There you go. There you go.
Contact The Fetish Show now by email at info@thefetishshow.com. Through our toll-free voicemail hotline, 1-888-506-0221. Or on the comments for this episode on our website at thefetishshow.com. We want to hear from you. The Fetish Show feature presentation.
Today we have alternative sex therapist Jasmine St. John. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, you two. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good today. How are you?
I am doing well. It's like 75 degrees here in Wisconsin, so it's a pleasant summer.
Wisconsin, like, where's that, Dark? Do you remember?
It's 150 degrees here.
Oh,
and it's
1,000%
humidity already.
Whatever. He's such an old man. I'm so glad to have you on the show. I'm so excited for people to get to know you and know about you. Thank you so much for agreeing to be here, and I'm so excited to talk about some stuff with you.
Terrific. I am looking forward to talking with you too, and hopefully just getting some information out there and helping the community.
Well, let's start out by asking, what is an alternative sex therapist?
All right. So basically, it is the term alt sex is being used at this point to encompass everything from open relationships, polyamory, non-monogamy, LGBTQIA, and power dynamics. Basically, what happens is anything that I would say is fun in the bedroom is the kind of stuff that I talk about with people.
So what you just said something, you said one thing there that I didn't get, and that's QIA. What is that?
Yeah, that is either questioning or queer. I is intersex, and A is asexual. So basically the sort of umbrella is getting larger for all of us to sort of hang out together and have fun.
Cool.
Very interesting. So how long have you been involved in this?
I have been in private practice, I think, going on 4 years now, but I have been involved doing this sort of work in other agencies and that sort of thing for going on about 10 years.
Are there any additional qualifications or education that you need to be classified as an alternative sex therapist?
Well, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at creating. Right now, there isn't. And so I'm part of various different groups to look at how to create standards for such things. Basically, there's only a few of us currently in the United States that are specifically working with these clients currently.
That's awesome. I mean, because I know that sometimes whenever your peers or at your licensure authority know that you may be doing something that's not the typical, sometimes they have a little bit of problem with some of that stuff, and they can give you a hard time getting your license renewed or you know, being against you. So this
I definitely catch some flack from traditional therapists, whether it be traditional sex therapist or just traditional therapists in general. But hey, you know what? To me, this is important work to be able to talk with people and give them a safe, open place to be able to discuss what I think all of us are thinking about is how to have a better life. And to me, that's pretty universal.
I just don't see any way that it's not connected, that alternative lifestyle, sex, and psychology is connected, and there's no way that you can deny that, in my opinion.
I completely agree. How we express ourselves sexually is, in my opinion, the core of who we are. It's really hard to not be authentic with yourself in just you by yourself and what turns you on. That's a pretty pure motive, and I think it's beautiful, and I want to honor that. So I'm really driven to work with this client base.
Well, there's a lot of healing that I see come out of some of the sessions and some of the role play and other things that that you maybe you would do in a psychology session, some kind of going through past or whatever. And it's needed and it's helpful. So I wish there was some training for professional dominatrixes that they could have a place to go and have something that's quality education that's from a professional.
That would be wonderful. Would you like to do that with me? We can set that up.
Yes, I'll come to your class.
Will
you give me a certificate? And I want a star, too.
That's fine. I will give you a ticker tape parade, Zoe. That is not a problem.
Wow.
Well, I've often thought about it would be interesting if there was a way to have some sort of accreditation or something for dominatrix where they could have an association or some sort of something that gave them a little bit more of something than people just automatically assuming that you're in the same category as an escort. I'm not saying anything bad about an escort. It's just not what I do.
Exactly. You know, we're pretty much in the same boat. I am licensed as a therapist, and I do systemic work, which allows me to not necessarily do a cookie-cutter process with clients, but take in everything and look at where their strengths are and build from that. But there's no doubt that there are only a few organizations, Caris being one of them, that looks at sort of trying to set professional standards for researchers as well as clinicians and professionals in the field that are looking to serve the alt-sex community. So there's a work in progress there, but I agree with you. It's coming along.
Well, we've got a ways to go, but I'm ready to start heading that direction myself and helping out and doing what I can. That's awesome.
You just mentioned Caris. What is Caris?
Caris is an organization that Richard Sprott formed, and basically it's looking at bringing community members as well as researchers as well as clinicians and other professionals and sort of bridging the gap between research and therapy and seeing how it works in tandem to better the community. And so we're looking to, you know, be able to do this work and provide really positive research as well. So just like Zoe's talking about, just to give more validity to the fact that people that are expressing in alternative sexual ways, that that's more a diversity issue as opposed to a pathology. And so we're really looking to change the power dynamics with that and make it more strength-based.
That's amazing. That's what I've been thinking about only from this end for a long time. I'm so happy to hear you say these things. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff.
People who are interested in this, if they're looking for an alternative sex therapist, what do they do? I mean, where do they go?
Well, Dirk, I'm glad you asked. There is this thing called the internet. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. However, there is organizations like NCFS, which specifically has a roster of kink-aware professionals, and they have it organized where you can look by state, by profession. That's one place that you can do. Caris itself, which is spelled C-A-R-A-S, their website specifically has resources. There's also different groups on FetLife as well. And so, like I said, there's not a lot of us, but it is an ever-growing group of people. And so those are some of the ways that you can get information currently about people in your area.
Jasmine, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you have professionals in my profession that you refer clients to?
Yes. Part of what we look at is for clients that are using Power Dynamics and so forth, if they're also seeing a professional in the community, we consider working with them just like we would any other healthcare professional. And so if those clients are interested, then we will, you know, do the basic, you know, consent forms of shared information, and then we will get in touch with the professionals on a regular basis. And if we are working on some therapeutic concepts, whether it be healing or self-esteem or looking at past trauma triggers, any of that sort of stuff, and we'll talk with the professional about how within their session that they can move and shift. And there's also sometimes even homework that we'll assign in coordination with the professional. We really think that That's it's a mind, body, spirit sort of sensation. So having people be able to come in and do talk therapy from our side and then be able to express that in various different ways really allows for the healing process and people to reach their goals so much more quickly.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's
really
interesting.
We need to do video clips on this. I got to ask you one more thing. I'm sorry, but I have to know. would you feel more confident and more just better about referring someone to a professional dominatrix who had some sort of a seal of approval that her place or his place was up to a certain standard and used sanitary items and you know, knew a certain skill set and was validated and said so?
Oh, absolutely. I think a big part of it is that when our therapeutic clients ask us for referrals, part of the process is that we're sort of used as some sort of screening device to be able to match up the psychological needs with the client. And so if there was some way that we could be able to have, like you said, classes or certification, because there are some clients that need a lot more of the psychological base and other people need more of the physical expression, or if they're working through things, it might be more spiritual. And to be able to have reference points to allow clients more information of something that we in the therapeutic community could rely on and say, okay, this is the kind of professional that you're going to see, then it just sort of allows for more community within all of us that are professionals that are working to help people.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
All right. I'm not sure if anyone's is paying attention or not, but you've written a couple of articles for our website. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I guess the first one that I did was based off of a documentary about a wonderful man who basically had a lot of health issues and his long-term search for expression, and he found a wonderful dominatrix and life partner that he was able to really fully express himself truly until the day he died. And it's a really powerful documentary, and I would encourage people to watch that. And then also, I'm looking at, I actually just finished up today, the sort of blogging on the Caris conference and all the fun stuff and the wonderful people that I met there and a lot of well-known names in the community and, yeah, that kind of stuff. So just looking to provide a different slant for everyone out there. Yeah.
All right. So what we'd like to do is encourage everyone to go to our website, which is thefetishshow.com, and look for the articles. All right, Jasmine, if someone wants to get in touch with you, where would they go?
Again, Dirk, thank you for asking. There is this place called the internet, as I referenced previously. And so people can find me and information about me at jsjtherapy.com, and all of my information that life as alt sex therapist, and I have a Facebook page and Google Plus and Twitter and all of that other stuff. So there are multiple different ways that people can get information from me, and I encourage people to feel if they want to ask questions. While I can't provide therapy to anyone that isn't directly my client, I'm happy to provide links and information to the community to help them find people in their area.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jasmine, until next time, thanks for being on The Fetish Show.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great rest of the day.
Thanks to Jasmine St. John for that interview.
Thank you. She's awesome.
She is awesome. We want to get her on here more often.
Yes, we do. We have designs on her.
Designs, she says.
Yes, I believe so. I think it could be kind of wise and awesomely cool to have her come on regularly and talk about very specific things that have to do with psychology, modern psychology, and BDSM, fetish-related things. She's a professional.
Right. I mean, this is something that you've been very passionate about since the very beginning. And here's someone who's actually right in the thick of it.
Well, this is necessary, and it's needed, and it's a part of history I want to be a part of.
There
is so much that she has to give and to offer. I would like for people like her that are passionate to put together education classes for pro doms to share information. She actually has a few other professionals that they recommend pro doms to certain clients.
Is that right?
Yeah, they work with certain pro doms in their area and that they know and can recommend their client to.
That's awesome.
That is very awesome.
Yeah.
It is therapeutic. I am a role play therapist.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's a great deal. And obviously, she's active in both her own community and also the BDSM community, education and, you know, expanding and stuff. It's right on target for us. And I mean, it goes right straight to the heart of what we like to do here, which is educate and inform people.
Yeah, it's not like she's a kinky, you know, a mental health provider. She's a mental health provider that provides therapy related and useful and is about BDSM.
It's huge.
And she might be kinky too, but it's
right.
Just saying. We're hoping.
The next time that you hear from us, we're going to have an update about Zoe getting a tattoo.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
Well, I thought of it.
You've got a question?
Yeah, Vanilla, I want to know that's your natural hair color.
Wow.
Yes, this is my natural hair color.
I want proof.
Wow. Newsflash.
And what kind of proof are you wanting?
That's your natural hair color.
How do you want me to prove that?
Well, I don't know. How could he prove that? I know when a guy asks me that, what he wants me to pull my pants down.
Wow. Wow.
Well, he told me earlier, he says, this is my natural hair color. And I said, prove it. He just, like, looked at me. I thought, well, you've never said to a girl, prove that's your natural hair color. They want to see your pussy hair. So we're waiting. Come on, show us your natural hair color. Prove it. He's not pulling down his pants.
I think he shaves.
No.
He colors his hair. See? That's not his natural hair.
Interesting.
No proof.
Interesting.
I'm just going to let you ponder.
We'll have to follow up on that on another episode, I guess.
Yeah. He didn't tell us how big the president's dick was either.
He really failed on that assignment.
Man, I really don't care about the president's dick.
It was outside the White House and everything.
I don't know why he didn't care.
Waiting for that interview.
I know. What the hell?
I don't know.
He's the only one that cares.
Also on our next episode, we're going to have an update from Apple Angel, who is a burlesque performer and has been on our show before.
She's all over the Fetish Show. She's doing all kinds of stuff.
She is. She's a writer for us. She's currently at the Burlesque Hall of Fame in Las Vegas.
In a hot tub, probably.
Maybe in a hot tub. Possibly. And she's going to be doing some interviews and doing some reporting for the Fetish Show, so she'll come back here and tell us about that.
Awesomely cool.
All right.
We dig it.
Do you have anything else that you would like to add, Princess Zoe?
Thank you to our staff and for being patient today with all of our getting our equipment together and stuff and always being there for us. Thank you, guys. We love you.
You want to name them?
Well, I'd like to name Vanilla Poser, and I'd like to name Summer.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
And Jay, who was also on the show.
Yes.
We'd like to thank Jay.
Yeah. All right. For something.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm just teasing Jay.
And you can see, or you can read Jay's article on the Fetish Show. Go to thefetishshow.com.
Yeah, he did a good job on that. And thank you, too. You do a lot of work putting a lot of stuff together. And you pick the really coolest stories sometimes.
Thank you. Thank you
no,
very
all
much.
All the time.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, we would like to invite you out to thefetishshow.com. You can get the episode guide for this episode, which is episode 31. You can also read some of the articles that we just mentioned.
Possibly
maybe
video.
Some video or some photos. Yeah, we're going to be doing video of Zoe at the tattoo shop, screaming or whatever she's going to be doing. And you're going to have to go to thefetishshow.com to see that as well. So definitely drop by there if you're subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher. That's good. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else to add, then I will say this is Derek Hoover. For Princess Zoe, thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.